scripture reading comes to us in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 5. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. This is the reading of God's word. Give your full attention to it. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer before we start. If you join me in prayer. All the kids out there, please, hands together. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we are wrapping up the sermon series on what is a church, your body. Lord, as we wrap up this sermon series in Palm Sunday, I pray that you would convict us in our hearts. Give us, your body, a sense of mission of the church, the goal of the church. The church is a spiritual hospital. The church is the kingdom of God, your son reigning as king, and we are your subjects. And we follow the king and the king's voice in his word alone. Father, be merciful to us. I did not come with eloquent words or words of wisdom, but a demonstration of your spirit's power in your truth. We have read your word. Now I pray that you will come. And I pray that you would strike us with your truth at our hearts. Help us now, I pray. Pray this not by might, not by power, but by your spirit in and through Christ. Amen. Amen. Again, this is a last part in the What is the Church sermon series. And a few weeks ago I said, in order for us to understand and determine what we do in the church, the mission of the church, it is important for us to know the goal, the end of the church. And let me demonstrate this with a movie, Meet the Robinsons, 2007 animated science fiction Disney movie. And basically the whole movie is about this boy genius who was an orphan. I don't know if you guys watched the movie. And it's all his life he's been trying to do the latest invention, and he has failed after a failure after failure, and even being adopted as an orphan, parents didn't want him. He had over 100 parents come, and they didn't want this boy, Lewis. But one day, a young time traveler from the future came, named Wilbur Robinson, and he arrives on the scene, and he takes him to the future and meets this family called the Robinsons. And these eccentric family that Lewis meets, it's really different. They were celebrating, which Lewis kind of, was liking. They celebrated failures, because failures, often you learn the most when you fail. And he was trying to fix something that they had trouble with, and he failed. And they were all laughing, laughing and encouraging him that you learn most when you fail. And the family motto was this: always, always look to the future And when the day came to an end, he realized that this family, the Robinsons, was his future family. The older folks was the family that the couple that he adopted him. Wilbur was his son in the future, and the parents was actually himself. And after the day was over, Wilbur took him back to his present life. And knowing his future life in the future, okay, Willie made clear the mission of his life. He realized that the failures that he was having with his latest inventions was preparing him for this future life. And that's what I want us to understand about the goal of the church. We in the Bible see our future life with God in heaven. That's the goal, to live and worship God forever. And if we see that clearly, just like Lewis, our family in the future with God living forever, it should give us a clear vision and a mission of what we do in the church. And we said that clear and mission, we could do a lot of other things in the church, but there's two clear things that the Bible talks about if our life, future life, is to live with God in heaven forever. And that is, number one, to get rid of your sin, all of your sin. And number two, to get ready for this life, this new life with God, a perfect place called the kingdom of God or heaven. And then we looked at where Brother Tim talks about that the church is a spiritual hospital. Jesus has not come for the healthy, but for the sick. And Pastor Peter talked about that the church is the kingdom of God. Christ is the king. We are his servants. We look to the king for provisions, direction, and his words in our Bible gives us life, and we listen to him because his words are life to our souls, and he's preparing us for this new life with God in heaven. Paul said, as I follow Christ, follow me. And today, to close our What is a Church series, we're going to look at the church. The church is a family of God. The church is a family of God. Being the modern democratic individuals that we are, we like our freedom from everyone. Our modern society especially is designed to isolate and insulate you from even your next-door neighbor. I mean, how many of you guys know your next-door neighbors? How well do you know them? In the past centuries, community was stronger than it is now. People in the same neighborhood, in the same town, knew each other and related to each other. Now, in the modern world, we have isolated and insulated ourselves in our living rooms. And the same attitude has come into the church. Christians put up with each other only for an hour or two during Sundays, then return to their safe haven at home. The result of that is that we know nothing, almost nothing, about each other. Our brothers and sisters in the church, and nor do we truly care about them. Just to show that what is happening in the church is not normal, look at the passage in Acts chapter 2. It's not in the transparency, but just listen to what the early church, while I call it the normal church, look at what they did. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. The awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all believed together, had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. They met all the time. They loved getting together, fellowshipping together, devoting themselves to the teachings of the apostles, God's word. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day, those who are being saved. I think if we were honest with ourselves, that does not describe us. One thing the church has to understand, we have to understand and take heart, is that we can't accomplish what the church should be by yourself. The mission of the church to get rid of all our sin and to prepare our life with God in heaven can't be done on an individual basis. God has made us a family because only in unity of the Spirit and purpose will we achieve our mission and our goal of the church. A family. One of the most fundamental changes that happened to us when we became Christians is that God, through Christ, has made through the Spirit, has made us one with Jesus. And the single idea of union with Christ, being one with Jesus, makes it possible for our salvation, the righteousness that we have, that the law expects of us, our relationship with God the Father, our eternal hope of life in heaven. Union with Christ makes that all possible. All believers and Christians, because of this union, make up what the Bible calls it, the body of Christ. As you read in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 5, let me read one more time. Because of this union with Christ, Paul says it like this: for as in one body, because of this union with Christ, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body, one family in Christ, union with Christ, individually members of one of another. And the idea here is that we live together. If we pull away, we will die. Just as a part of your physical body will die if it's cut off from the rest. In other words, we need the rest of the body that provides for us, and they need us. I see a few people here. I need Isaac, and Isaac needs me. I need Tim and his gifts that God has given him, and he needs me. Sam, with Sam, Frank, Cynthia, we all are one body, different members, but we need each other. It's crucial. If we separate, we will die. The image of the body of Christ is useful to teach us some vital principles of the life and function of the church. Let me give you one passage that Jesus talks about family. He says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 to 50, look at what Jesus, how he talks about our earthly family versus the spiritual family that God has established in union with Christ. Matthew chapter 12, verses 48 to 50. He replied to him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, Here are my mother and my brothers. Verse 50. Listen to what Jesus says. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother. Matthew here, chapter 12, shows us what Jesus thinks about the family of God. And he seems to me, says that this family, those who do the will of God, is more important to him than his earthly family. And the reason he feels this way is because he's putting together a new family, a new race, a family to live with him in heaven. Earthly families often don't stick together on spiritual matters. I remember a student in college ministry, and the student got converted, became a Christian. And the student went back home, excited about this new life. And the student started reading the Bible at home. And the parents, her parents, scolded her and said, "Why are you wasting your time in that book? Stop wasting your time in that book." Most of the time, our earthly families don't care about this new life, this new spiritual life that God has brought us into. Look at what he says further in Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 to 38. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. It's not like Jesus thinks ill of our earthly families. It's just that Jesus is realistic. He knows. For the most part, our earthly families won't share in our new spiritual values. And perhaps some of you guys at home and here, that might be the case. Jesus knew that many people who make the mistake of putting their earthly families above the church, the spiritual family, he knows our hearts. When it comes down to choosing between the earthly family and your family at church, we will all, if you have to make the choice, earthly family or spiritual family, Jesus knows that we will almost always choose our earthly family, and Jesus is saying that is a mistake. Our earthly family, if they don't know Christ, are not joined to this new family, would rarely follow us to heaven. The church family, however, is going to be waiting there for us. The church is a family. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean for a Christian to be a part of the family of God? Let me make this clear here. The church will never work unless the leadership of the church and the members of the church are agreed and determined about this point that we are a family. We are brothers and sisters. I know in our church we call some men like Brother Tim, okay, or Sister Cynthia. I think sometimes we say that But do we overly understand that we are a family? Tim is my brother. You are my brothers, and you are my sisters. Let's think about that for a little bit. We are, in the church, brothers and sisters. We're not individuals who can live without each other. God has put us together and made it possible, together as a family, working on the mission as a family, not by ourselves. It's also true that we can't separate from each other over little problems. Just as physical families, family members can't deny their relationship despite their problems, so also the members of God's family. Leaving the church, the family, over trivial issues causes more hurt and suffering when you refuse to work out the problem in this family, in God's family, or issues. You are only postponing the problem and not solving. And I've seen so much in the church where there are disagreements and there are issues and problems that are small and trivial. They fight or even leave the church. You know, my sister and I, growing up, we always fought for, you know, who gets to watch TV after we came from school. And we fought. It was a bloody battle back and forth. Do I get to watch my show, you know, the boy shows? And does she get to watch the, you know, the more girly shows that I didn't want to watch? And we used to fight and fight almost every day. And yes, we fight. You know, my sister, you know, we fought. But even though we had problems and we fought, she's my sister. You know, I love her. And often in the church, we fight over those, you know, trivia issues. And we forget to understand in our minds that you are my brother. We got to work the problem out. The spiritual skill that's going to be needed to make this family work, what the Bible calls, is love. Love is going to make the family work. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verses 12 to 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Here is a command by Jesus and a definition. We must love each other as Jesus loved us. Let me say that one more time. It's very critical. We understand as a family. We must love each other as Jesus has loved us. And keeping us from heading in the wrong direction of what love means here, Jesus tells us what love is. We must give to our family until it hurts. It costs us. It's a sacrifice that we make for our family. Not true that we do with our earthly families. Even though if I'm busy, my family live in, you know, Washington, D.C., and if my parents or my sister said, Young, I need your help. You need to come right now. I'm there. I drop whatever I'm doing. They need me. I care for them. I love them. We must make sure our brothers and sister has what he or she needs. Even if it means that you go without. We must put ourselves out of the picture so that our brother or sister get into it. And I love this one. Look how Paul says what love is. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. We must consider others better than ourselves. We must put aside all pride and bear with our brother or sister's immaturity. We must spend our time and energy for our brothers and sisters' benefit. As much you are passionate about what you want to do in your life and the energy that you put for your life, love is saying, is putting that much energy and passion for your brothers and sisters' benefit. Most people in the church today don't love like this. You know how I know this? Simply because as we don't even know our neighbors and their needs, our next door neighbors, or care about getting to know them and, you know, see how they're doing. We don't even know in this church, our RCCC perhaps, don't even know our brothers and sisters and their circumstances. I mean, how can we love someone and care for someone if we're not even close enough to know what he or she needs? How can we love him or her, brothers and sisters, if we are so ready to declare war against him or her over trivial matters? The church will never work unless we understand and are determined about this, that we are brothers and sisters. We are a family. God put us together to achieve our mission as a family, not individually. Look at what, I'm going to read you a series of passages, and I hope this lands on you. Series of passages about love in this family. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Or 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how can God's love abide in him? Or 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 to 21. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. The church can be filled with a lot of self-seeking, self-serving, proud, rebellious troublemakers will stop at nothing, including hurting others, to get what they want. Yet, a church is able to survive and thrive with all sorts of problems, like the coronavirus or any other problems, as long as everyone in this family genuinely loves each other. Look at what Peter says in chapter 4. I love this verse. 1 Peter chapter 4,
verse 8 to 10.
Above all, I love that word, above all, if you don't consider anything, okay? Above all, remember this, how the church works in the family. Above all, love each other deeply. This is how church works. Love each other deeply because, I love this, even though we come to a spiritual hospital, even though we're sinners here, we're going to fight, problems will happen. It says if we love, above all, if we love each other deeply, we care for each other, we're brothers and sisters, we're a family. Because love covers multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Your brother needs help. And it costs you from your schedule because he needs your help. You come, you go. Help him. If you have the resources to do it. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I pray that this verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, 8 through 10, may we get this first. We have God be gracious to us. How does church work? Let me go back to Acts chapter 2, verses 42-47. I'm going to end with this. How does a normal church who love each other work? They devoted themselves to the apostle teaching, fellowship, breaking bread together, and prayer. They spent time together. They had everything in common. You know, when I look at the early church, they loved spending time with each other. It wasn't a chore for them. It was in joy and gladness of heart. Everything in common. Your family. They sold their possessions and gave the proceeds to those who were in need. They met every day in the temple courts, learning and praying. They met in their homes and ate together. They were free with what they owned. There were no needy person among them. So I charge us, RCCC, RCC English Congregation, may the Lord convict us to see that we are one family. We are brothers and sisters. And may the Lord change us to deeply love each other. As Christ has loved us, I pray. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Kids out there, hands together, bow your heads. Father in heaven, I pray that you will make this miracle happen. That you will cause every member in this church and help us to see that we're not individuals, but we're individuals of one body. This new family called the church, the body of Christ. And Lord, we ask for another miracle, that we would, may all the selfish, self-seeking pride may you crush that in us and that you would replace it with a deep love for one another, bearing with each other, forgiving one another, sharing resources with each other as people in need, sacrificing our own ones for the sake of the brothers and sisters here. Help us to follow the footsteps of our Savior. Make that miracle happen, O Holy Spirit, through your truth. Change us, I pray, so that we might be a church that understands the goal and our mission. That we see that we are a church of sinners gathering, a spiritual hospital. And we look to the only King, Jesus, because we are a kingdom of God. Forsaking our own will and following the will, the voice of the King. And that we might be a church that is family, that deeply love each other. Oh Lord, make these miracles happen in this church, I pray. All this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen.